The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Good to see you all today. It's good to be back here. As I've said before, we've been absent a while on Sunday mornings, but we have been going to church. And Brother Tim mentioned we've been mostly over at Pleasant Hill. I appreciate your prayers for the church over there. And also appreciate your prayers and support of the brethren in Africa. Brother Kazala, the brother who pastors in South Zambia, where the famine is so severe, has always, when we've helped them, sends me photos and notes of thanks. And I believe he's been very diligent with the funds that we've been able to help them with. And also, he hasn't asked for anything extra except that we would pray that the Lord would send rain. Amen. Not just for their crops, but he has about 30 people who join the church and want to be baptized, but the river's dry and he can't baptize them. So please be praying that the Lord would send that dear brother some rain. This morning, if you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. I pray that what I have to bring to you would be of the Lord. And please pray for me as I stand before you. As you're turning there, think about your approach to life in the natural world. I don't mean in the world, the spiritual world. We're going to look a little bit today at the difference between what goes on in the kingdom of God, which I'm primarily going to refer to today as the church and the family. Now, there are other facets and aspects of the kingdom of God, but for the sake of the discussion today, we're going to think about the kingdom of God being the church and the family. Those are certainly pivotal parts of the kingdom of God here on earth. And contrast that a little bit with what goes on in the natural world. Think about this. How do you get ahead in life in the natural world? Well, you work hard to rise above poverty, right, if you can. You save for a rainy day. If you build a house near the river, you put it up on stilts so you rise above the floodwaters. You take vaccines in the hopes that you will rise above illness and not get sick a lot, right? We do things to advance ourselves in a natural way. But the kingdom of God is different than the natural world. In the kingdom of God, you rise when you lower yourself. This is a pivotal point to understand in the kingdom of God. That relationships in the church, relationships in the home and in the family, they don't work the same way they do out in the world of business or out in the natural world. And I hope you'll understand what I mean by the time I finish this, if the Lord would help me to understand that rising in the kingdom of God or being lifted up in the service of the Lord requires that, not that you scrape and step on other people, but that we lower ourselves. And in lowering ourselves and seeing ourselves as least and less, the Lord will raise us up and bless us. Now, to understand how that works, we have to ask ourselves a question this morning. Does God think like we think? Does God think like you and I think? Now, we are part of Adam's race. We fell in sin in Adam way back in the garden. And I'll certify you on the authority of the Word of God, and we're going to read it in just a minute. God doesn't primarily think the way we think. He has a different perspective on the world and a different perspective on life. Now, in that we have the Spirit of God, we do sometimes, and hopefully when we're following the Spirit and being led by the Spirit, we think a lot of the way that He thinks, if we're obeying the Word of God. But He thinks differently than us. In Isaiah chapter 55, the Lord says this in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth." In other words, the Lord sends down the rain, He sends down the snow, and it waters the earth, and maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." And pay attention to verse 12 and verse 13, because this is how we want to live, I think. This is how I want my life to be. Amen. Joyful, blessed. He says, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorns shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. In other words, instead of thorns and briars would be trees and things around you that would bless you, that would smell good and that would look nice. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And you say, well, Brother Neil, my life hasn't been that way. You know, I've had trouble in my relationships. I've been down. I've been depressed. My life is not like buds breaking forth. It's not like sweet essence of the ferns of the mountains. It's not like that. My life isn't like that sometimes either. But it's most of the time my fault. What the Lord says is, I don't think like you think. If you want your life to be blessed like that, you need to listen to what I say. And maybe, okay, if we would hear what the Lord says today and we would do what He says, then our life would be a lot more like that than what it is sometimes. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I find myself sometimes just eating bitter herbs. Do you ever find yourself that way? I find that sometimes in my relationships, whether it be in the church, at home, at work, whatever, I'm just kind of eating some bitter herbs. I'm not really enjoying the things that He's talking about here. Now, if the Lord doesn't think the way I think in my flesh most of the time, how does He think? We know if you ask that question, and you should ask yourself that question this morning, then you're blessed to ask that question because the Lord tells us. He gave us His Word, right? We're reading part of it right now. Turn over with me to the book of James, the 4th chapter. We're talking here about being lifted up in the Lord, about being lifted up above the cares of life, about enjoying the kingdom of God, about not just stumbling through this life and eating bitter herbs, but enjoying things. Now here's what James says in the 4th chapter. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Now he's talking to children of God here, and I'm sure this would apply to nations too. Okay, but he's not primarily talking to nations out there in the world. He's talking to us, again, in the kingdom of God, in our relationships in the church, in our relationships in our homes. Ye lust and have not, ye kill. So, brother, we don't kill people in the church. No, we don't. Thank the Lord we don't. But we kill things, don't we? Sometimes, without meaning to, we kill relationships. We kill joy. Why? Why does that happen? Why is it sometimes that I drift away from those I love in my own home? Why do we kill those things? He tells us, ye fight in war, ye have not because ye ask not. And because, in verse 1, we have lust that war, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. You may consume it on your lust. And he says, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Now, he's not saying that they're literally going out and cheating on their spouse. He's saying, you're cheating on me and the priorities of the Lord. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You want to be a friend of God? You got to be an enemy of the world. In other words, I have to put myself aside. The lust of my flesh, the lust of my eyes, the pride of my life, I have to put it aside to be a friend of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? How do I get over myself and the things I want and the desires that I have that cause conflict in my home and in my relationships in the church and in my own self? How do I get over that? God gives grace. Amen. Wherefore He saith, listen to this, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In other words, like I said, in the world, if you want to rise in the world of business, you got to be aggressive. You got to invest aggressively. If you want to really be successful, I'm not telling you to do this, but most people that are super successful in the world of business and stuff, not all, but a lot of them get that way by stepping on the little folks, right? They just work their way up the ladder. And they hurt some people to get there. Listen, the kingdom of God is not like that, okay? We have to submit ourselves, humble ourselves. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Why are we double-minded? Sometimes we're not just seeking the kingdom of God. We're seeking the world, too. Right. And listen to what he says. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Oh, my goodness. So, Brother Neil, I don't want to weep. I want to be lifted up. I want to enjoy life. But see, that's how the kingdom of God works. And whether you realize it or not, you know, our homes and families, in as much as they line up with the kingdom of God, we can enjoy them. And in as much as they don't, we won't enjoy them. To be lifted up in my relationship with my spouse and my children, I have to first lower myself. And if there's conflict there, you know what I need to do? It's not get up and try to stomp on them to get ahead. I need to get low. I need to mourn. I need to be afflicted. I need to repent sometimes. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And what? If you humble yourself, if you get down there and you get low and you get at your brothers and sisters' feet and you wash their feet, which we literally do at communion, and you get down there and you show yourself as being nothing, what does it say? Does it say there that the Lord is then just going to roll all over you? And no, what does it say? He shall lift you up.
Right.
Now, there's a context in the scripture in which if we come into the kingdom of God and we enjoy the kingdom of God, we come as little children. I was thinking about this as I was studying this this morning when the dog woke me up at 2 a.m. I was not happy about that, but it did give me some time to reflect on the scripture. And I was thinking about some of these things, and I thought back to the days of my childhood. My family, when they moved to Birmingham, Alabama, my dad got out of school, we moved to a part of town that wasn't a good part of town. But we didn't know that. It had been a pretty good area of town back in the heyday of the steel mills, but it had sort of started to go downhill. And so they enrolled me in school there, and you know, first grade went okay, second grade went okay, third grade got a little rocky, but fourth grade was bad. You know, we were all getting to an age where we were starting to hit our growth spurt and get irritable to one another. And I remember sometimes on the playground, I don't know where the teachers were, but they were nowhere to be found during recess. I guess they were out just trying to collect their thoughts and get sane again. I remember crawling out from under a pile of guys, just beaten up and bruised and just fighting for my life. I mean, I remember this. It happened many, many times. You know, and I would get up from there and, you know, I got a bruise on the side of my head and my jeans are torn and I'm just thinking, what happened? You know, I've survived another day. But, you know, I'd go in the lunchroom and sit down with those same people and eat lunch. Can I have your spare cookie? No. Can I have your extra piece of pizza? You know, in other words, we shouldn't have been fighting, okay? And there were a lot of reasons we were fighting. You know, there was broken homes and poverty and a lot of things that led to that. We were all frustrated and angry and we're just taking it out on one another. But we could sit down with one another and eat after it was over.
Yeah.
Now, what would happen if somebody did that to me today? If somebody just came in my job or my house and just beat the tar out of me. Well, first of all, I'm going to fight back, right? But I'm not a big guy. I'm probably not going to do real well. The next thing I'm going to do is pick up the phone and call 911 because I have been assaulted. I'm a victim of assault and battery. And I'm going to try to get that person arrested. And, you know, if they do get convicted, I might could even file a civil suit and get some money from them. In other words, I'm not going to take it lying down. What happened? I got older. I'm middle-aged now. And now I see what I couldn't see then when I was a child and I was a nobody and a nothing. I got rights, right? Now, thank the Lord, we've been granted some rights in the Bill of Rights in our Constitution. I have a right to keep and bear arms. I have a right to free speech. I can sit here and preach anything in this Bible the Lord burdens me with because I have a right to free speech. But see, that's out in the natural world. That's as a citizen of the United States of America. But when I move over into the kingdom of God, you know what? I need to act like that little child used to act. I need to be willing to sometimes get rolled and get up and forgive and go sit down and eat with that person. Because that's the kingdom of God. See, it's different than the world. In the kingdom of God, I'm not worried about my rights. You know what? I really don't have any. I have a privilege of serving in the kingdom of God. I have the privilege of being married to a beautiful woman and having 7 children. When I walk in my home, I don't just stand up for my rights. Doggone it, they hurt my feelings. I need to remember that I have a privilege to serve there, a privilege to work there, a privilege to be a part of a family, a privilege of being part of a church and part of the kingdom of God. And I don't need to be worried about any rights, real, imagined, or otherwise. It's a privilege. And I need to be like the little guy on the playground who just stood up and glad that he survived to walk through another day. And would you like my extra piece of pizza? No, we don't have pizza today. But we all will on a few Sundays probably again, right?
That's right.
You follow me?
Yes, sir.
But what happens when we get a little older and we realize, hey, somebody wronged me. I even have legal recourse, perhaps. They call it divorce in a marriage. But would it be better if, to avoid that, I made myself of no reputation and became humble and submitted myself and tried to avoid that legal recourse? It would be better. It's not always possible. I know we don't live in a perfect world, but it would be better. Brother Tim taught me years ago, he said, Brother Neil, when you're counseling people, remember there's not two sides to every story. There's three. There's his side, there's her side, and there's the truth, which is usually somewhere in the middle. And I've lived long enough to understand that sometimes, you know, when there's a conflict in a relationship, one person is 99% wrong. But you know what? That other person is at least 1% wrong. Because there isn't a perfect person on this planet. And you might be in a relationship problem, and you're thinking, it's 95% that other person's fault. You know what you need to do is concentrate on your 5% that's your fault. And try to submit yourself when you can. I'm not saying submit yourself to abuse. I'm not saying submit yourself to something that's illegal or anything like that. But when it comes to, can I humble myself and make myself of no reputation like my Savior did when He came to this earth? And Paul said that in Philippians, the second chapter. I believe the second chapter, maybe the first chapter. He said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, and being found in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But what did he do? He came down to earth and was made in the likeness of a man. Why? So he could exert his rights. Oh my, you know better than that. Dear children of God, you know better than that. What did your Savior do for you? Came from heaven and made himself of no reputation. Now, I know I can't really do that like he did. But Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I should be willing to. Amen. Right?
Amen.
Let's look at one more passage of Scripture. Hurrying on here. Just turn over a few pages to 1 Peter. Now, we could go to lots of places to look at this concept. But we're just going to go to a couple. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You know, why should a woman submit herself to her husband? Well, sometimes the preacher can't even get through to him. But if the woman that he lives with every day is a kind, gentle, sweet, humble person who's really trying to serve the Lord, you know, sometimes that turns his head. While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of a putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Oh, you ladies, you come to church and you're dressed up and wearing your nice things, and that's so beautiful to see. Maybe you have on your jewelry or something like that. But you know what the Lord is really looking at is not that. You see, the Lord owns all that. All the gold, all the silver, all the things that we could accomplish, all of the beauty that we may have. Man, maybe it's your strength that you trust in, or your money or something like that. Listen, the Lord owns all that. He's not concerned about that. You know what is of great value to the Lord? Is when we're willing to submit ourselves and be meek and be quiet and be humble. See, the world would lift you up if you got a lot of gold and silver and good looks and all that kind of stuff. Listen, that's not currency in the kingdom of God, though. Out in the world, it means something. But in the kingdom of God, remember, thinking of the church, our relationships in the church, our relationships in the family, that stuff is of no value there. What is of great price to God? The meek and the quiet spirit. For after this manner in the old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And that just means that she followed him and called him master in a sense. What did Sarah do? If you think back into antiquity, now this was, Sarah lived, you realize, almost 4,000 years ago. But when the Lord told Abraham to get up and leave Ur and go to Haran, and then leave Haran and go out in the wilderness, you know who went with him? his dear wife Sarah. Oh my goodness. Now think about it this way. If the Lord doesn't come back another 4,000 years and someone was writing the story of your life, ladies, men, now we know there's not going to be another Bible because the Lord's finished out the canon of Scripture. But what would the story of your life say? Would it be that they were lived in subjection to one another? That they loved one another? Or, you know, did they just get head up and fight like cats and dogs? Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Understand her weaknesses. Make provision for that. Don't use it to hurt her. Try to be kind. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Take pity on me when I offend you. And I say that to my family. Take pity on me. I'm not perfect. I offend sometimes. I probably offended everybody in this room and probably and didn't even know it. Forgive me, please. Remember, in the world, it's climb to the top. It's get all you can get. It's if you don't want to be poor, you got to try to be rich. If you don't want to be sick, you got to try to be well all the time. In the kingdom of God, in your family, in your home, in the church, to dwell there, to enjoy it, okay? To be able to be blessed like we read about, to be joyful. Listen, it's not about being more of me and lifting myself up. It's being lower. How low can I go? By God's grace, as low as I need to go. Right? Can I go down and kneel before my brethren and wash their feet? Sisters, can you wash your sisters' feet in the Lord? The Lord said, if we would, we'd be happy if we did these things. To bring ourselves down. We were talking last night about a dismember of our family. All these people were deceased, so don't try to figure out who they are because you didn't know any of them. And I know we're all curious. I just want to say that. But we were talking about a member of our family, that a husband and wife that had passed away years ago, and how meek and kind the man was. Now, I knew him. And we talked a little bit about how, you know, sometimes his wife was kind of hard to get along with. And he couldn't change her. So he just dwelt with her in meekness and kindness. And I remember how sometimes he would, in his way, kind of try to make up for some of her bad habits and behaviors. It was one of those relationships where the negative sides of the relationship were probably were like 85% her fault. But you know what? He covered it up 150%. And one of the family members made a comment. They said, you know, maybe, you know, he should have just kind of stuck up a little bit more. Maybe he should have. And maybe if he had, they wouldn't have stayed married. All I know is I could look back on their life and their relationship. And though I could see some problems, I could see where a man who was a big man, a strong man, a talented man, a man who everybody loved, who was a military hero, was willing to humble himself and make himself of no reputation and bless an entire generation of family members. Now, could he have exerted his rights? Well, sure. Yeah, he could have. He was big enough to do it, but he didn't. That's how things sometimes work in the kingdom of God and in families. I've got problems. If I've offended you, it might be 95% my fault. It might be 99.999% my fault. Will you forgive me? If you offend me, it might be 98% your fault on that particular occasion. But will I lower myself and make myself of no reputation? And humble myself and allow the Lord to lift us both up? I hope I would. I hope you would. In closing, look back with me at Isaiah 55. Because this is what the Lord says in the first verse. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do you buy it without price? You sell off the stuff that's important to you. How do you come in the kingdom of God and drink the wine of the kingdom of God and enjoy the milk and the bread that the brothers feed us when they come and preach? How do I get to enjoy that? Because I sell off the things of the world. I sell off my rights. I sell off all that is so important to me. And the fact that Neil Honey is the most important person in the world to Neil Honey. And you do the same. And when we do that and we're willing to sell that, you know what? The Lord just blesses us with a river of blessings and a river of things that we could never buy because He giveth more grace. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Do we spend our time like agonizing over what person said to me and what a person did to me? Or do we just say, you know what, I forgive and I'll just move on and I'll enjoy the kingdom of God? That's what we ought to do. And your labor for that which satisfies not, do we stay up late and worry about this and worry about that? And oh, you know, my spouse wasn't nice to me yesterday. Move on. Time is short. Think about how it was when you were a little child. If you can remember that far back, most of us can. Someone took your toy. Did you write them off for the rest of their life? No, what do? Mom comes over, gives you both the pop, gives the toys back, and you just go on, right? Let's just go on in the kingdom of God. Let's make ourselves small. And let the Lord lift us up together. I love you. I thank you for your time.